Some of y'all need to get on the ball. Some of you have wasted time, and you need to begin to get busy, and you need to get on the ball. He said, teach us to number our days that we may apply our heart to wisdom. A prayer for wisdom, and secondly, a prayer for joy. Look what he says in verse 14. That in my days, as dust on this earth, he says in verse 14, oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us and the years wherein we have seen us.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will continue his series, Redeeming the Time. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Are We Just Dust in the Wind?
He created him with the ability to live forever. Well, how do we know that? Well, God told Adam that in the day that you disobey, in the day that you eat from the tree, then you will surely die. So that lets us know that he wasn't going to die. Now, when Adam ate from the tree, did he just keel over and die? No. But what happened? The process of death began to enter into his body because of sin. His skin had the capabilities now to wrinkle. His hair had the capabilities to either turn gray or turn loose. His eyesight would begin to fail. His hearing would begin to go. His legs would begin to get weaker. And so that started this process of dust. Had Adam not sinned, and we could speculate a lot of things, but I know one thing, had Adam not sinned, you wouldn't grow old. You wouldn't die. You would just live forever had he not sinned. But because he sinned, we see now we become dust in the wind. The first thing we see is that man is ground to dust because God is angry and God pours out his wrath against sin. The fact that we grow old, the fact that we are dust in the wind is a result of God's anger with sin. Not necessarily with your personal sin, but with sin in general. Look what he says in verse 7. He says, for we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. That we are consumed, that the word consumed again means to decay. That we are decaying. We are decaying. We are getting old. We are getting worn out because God is angry with us. We are consumed. We are destroyed. We are becoming dust because God is angry with us. But God loves, doesn't God love everybody? Yeah, he loves everybody, but God hates sin. The Bible says in Psalm 7 and verse 11, that God is angry with the wicked every day. In Romans chapter 1, it says that the wrath of God is poured out against all unrighteousness. And so God is angry, and he pours out his wrath against sin. And not only that, and again, I'm getting ahead of myself, but you know, I can't keep going like this without saying something. And the fact is that when we come to Christ, that God washes away all our sins. And the Bible says that over and over again, that if you're in Christ, that you're a new creature, all things pass away, behold, all things have come new. But what about that person that doesn't receive Christ? What about the person who stays unregenerate? Look what it says here. Verse 8. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee. That God has the sins of people always before him. And he's always looking at their sin. And even the secret sins, the things that people think they do and nobody else sees them, he brings them into the light of his countenance. That whenever somebody does something in a corner and they think that them and themselves were the only ones that saw it, no, be assured that the scripture says here that he brings the secret sin. He gets out his heavenly spotlight and he shines it on the sin. And he's looking dead at it. He sees it. He sees every inch of it. He sees every nook and cranny of it. He sees it in its totality. He got his big spotlight on it. And nothing that a person can do can go unnoticed or unseen by God. So even though you think that you got away with something, you didn't. He saw it. Proverbs 15:3, behold, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. So we see that God has ground man to dust because of his anger against sin. God has ground man to dust because we are always before him. Are we just dust in the wind? Well, he further goes on to make this case to say that we are. Verse 9, man spends all his years on this earth being ground to dust. Verse 9, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath. Every day that we live, that God is angry. We spend our years as a tale that is told. That's all your life is. Your life is a tale that's told. And what is the tale that your life is telling? That here is a person that's being ground to dust. And you know, you can't get around it, whether we get cremated or whether we get buried. All we are is just dust and ashes. And then he goes on to say something that's even more heartbreaking. He says in verse 10, the days of our years are 70 years, and if by strength they be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for then, even then, we are cut off and we fly away. And there are two views, if you'll put that slide up there. There are two views as to what this means. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years. The first view says that barring any unforeseen circumstances, the average lifespan of a person is 70 to 80 years. So that's one viewpoint as to what this means. And this is, you know, people in our society today, this is the way that they most take it. Most people believe, well, you know, I got 70 or 80. You know, 70 is 60 and 10. You know, is 70 and 80 is 80. So, you know, if I, you know, can make it between 70 and 80, then, you know, I feel that I'm all right. And I feel that I lived a full life. And, you know, there's a lot of people that go beyond that. There's people that are sitting here that have gone beyond that. We just sent a saint home that went to about 93, 94 years old. So people are going beyond that. But what he's saying, according to this one view, is that the average lifespan of a person is about 70 to 80 years. Now, the other view is this, is that Moses, because he's the author of this song, and how do we know that Moses is the author of this song? Well, we go back to the superscription, right, where it says, a prayer of who? Moses, the man of God. So Moses is the author, even though, and this probably is the oldest song. There's 150 psalms, and this probably is the oldest psalm that is written, Psalm 90, written by Moses. Now, some people say he didn't write it, but I think there's good evidence if you study it out. And if you were in an Old Testament survey class, we could get into the evidence why Moses wrote this. But since we're not, I'm just going to tell you that he wrote it, and you'll just have to take my word for it. Or if you want to email me, I will send you proof that Moses wrote this song. All right. So the fact that Moses wrote it, and people say that, well, he was specifically speaking to the Israelites. And what did God tell the Israelites when They went into the promised land. They sent the 12 spies. They came back, and they refused to go by faith and take the promised land. God said, every last one of y'all are going to die in the wilderness. So if they were all going to die in the wilderness, and just say that the average person at that time, we know that Joshua and Caleb, they were about 19, 20, all right? So the average person might have been in their 20s. So what was he telling them? He says, look, y'all all going to die in the wilderness. And if you make it to 70 or 80 years old, you need to consider yourself fortunate. And so a lot of people would say, well, that's the interpretation that he's speaking of here. That he's actually saying, he's actually speaking to the Israelites, and he's telling them that all y'all going to die in the wilderness, and because you're going to die in the wilderness, that many of you are just going to make it to 70, 80, and some of y'all not even going to make it to that. So that's pretty cold right there. All right. So, I mean, he gives the fact that, and even if he's just speaking to the Israelites, the fact is, well, that's not talking about us, we could say. Yeah, but well, we'll give you what? I'll give you 100. I'll give you 100. You want all of us going to die? Every last one of y'all sitting here going to die unless Jesus come back. All right? So we can say the days are yours, years are 50. We'll give you 100. But the fact is that your life is coming to an end. And when we think about that again, that your time as dust in the wind has been designated. You had a start time, and you had a finish time. So as we look at this, let me conclude this, because we've been kind of grim, and there's got to be some good news in here, right? There's got to be some good news. Pastor, you just can't leave us like that. You just can't leave us hanging. All right. You got to give me a little something-something. Well, I'm going to do that. He closes the psalm with three prayers for our time as dust in the wind. Three prayers: a prayer for wisdom, a prayer for joy, and a prayer for a legacy. Wow. See, at that point, even though you're dust in, because you are just dust in the wind. But you ought to have these three prayers. Every day you ought to get up and pray these three prayers: a prayer for wisdom, a prayer for joy, and a prayer for a legacy. First of all, prayer for wisdom. He says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Lord, teach me to number my days. Teach me to realize that my days are numbered. That from this point, I don't know when I'm going to be taken out here, but my days are numbered. Well, you know, I'm a young cat. I'm 15 years old. I'm 20 years old. Your days are numbered. All right? The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to die. You know what that word appointed means? It comes from a Greek word. It means laid up. Your day, when you were born, the Lord knew the exact day that you were going to die. So you need to number your days. You need to think about the fact that I've only got a certain amount of days here on this earth. And you know what? And I wish some young person would hear me on this. That I need to use these days as wisely as I can. That I don't need to think that I got all the time in the world and, you know, I got all the wild oats to sow and I got all the sins to commit. I need to start early, and I need to use these days because my days are numbered, my days are limited, and I need to use these days as wisely as I can. And I don't need to squander one of them. But every day that I would redeem the time and I would use it for the honor and glory of God. See, some of us, if we're honest, have wasted a whole lot of days. My. Think about that for a minute. Some of us have wasted a whole lot of days. And you know what? We need to get busy. And we need to make up for them years that the locusts ate away. He said, teach me to number my days that I may apply my heart to wisdom. You know, you heard about the two guys that took up golf as a hobby. And they were just learning how to golf. And they were on the golf course and they were hacking it up left and right. I mean, they were just tearing the golf course up. Couldn't hit the ball to save their life. And they came to this place where they put the tee and there was an ant hill. Thousands of ants was crawling around this hill. And these guys was trying to hit the ball and they missed the ball and they killed all the ants except for two. And one ant looked at the other one and said, if we're going to make it, we better get on the ball. Some of y'all need to get on the ball. Some of you have wasted time, and you need to begin to get busy, and you need to get on the ball. He said, teach us to number our days that we may apply our heart to wisdom. A prayer for wisdom, and secondly, a prayer for joy. Look what he says in verse 14. That in my days, as dust on this earth, he says in verse 14, oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us and the years wherein we have seen evil. He's praying for joy. He says, Lord, in this life of frustration, in this life of dust in the wind, Lord, don't let me go through life looking like a bulldog baptized in lemon juice. Lord, don't let me go through life as an advertisement for an iodine bottle. Lord, let me go through life with joy. And you know, man, there's a whole lot of frustrations, and there's a whole lot of setbacks, and there's a whole lot of trials, and there's a whole lot of tribulation in life. But Lord, in the midst of all that, let me have joy. I remember one time my granddaughter, Tasia, she came over to my house and she did something. And I said, very good, Tay-Tay. That's very good. I said, I'm going to take you out and buy you a candy bar. And I didn't have a seat, car seat in my car, so we took my wife's car. So we got in the car. My wife, she must have went out earlier that day, and she came back and she left the sunroof open, and the sun was high. It was beating down on my head, and I'm thinking, man, before I start driving, I need to close this sunroof because I didn't want this thing beating down on me. Not like 5 minutes, man, you know. Where's the control at to close this sunroof? I turned it on, turned it off. I can't find, you know, that. I'm getting frustrated, right? I'm getting frustrated. How do you close this? And then I thought, my wife takes my granddaughter with her to work every day. And I said, Tay, do you know which button grandma pushes to close it? She said, yeah, pop, that one right there. And I pushed it and the roof closed. And she said, very good, pop, very good. What did he say? Lord, give me joy. In the midst of frustration, in the midst of the frustrations of life, Lord, let me have joy. In the midst of the fact that I'm just dust in the wind, let me have joy. And you know, that's up to you. That's, you know, what the song, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. It's up to you. It's up to you. You know, you can go through life bitter, mean, upset, and angry, or you can choose. I mean, and yeah, you know what? There are people around that do things to us that is very difficult sometimes. And you know, what do? Just stay behind that eight ball and stay angry and mean and upset? Or do we say, look, I only got a short time here as dust in the wind. You know, my body is decaying. You know, I'm turning to dust. And you know what? By God's help, I'm not going to let you cause me to get dustier earlier than I should. You know, By God's help, by the grace of God, you're not going to make me dustier than before my time. He says, a prayer for wisdom, a prayer for joy, and then finally, he says, a prayer for a legacy. Look at verse 17. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands. African-American mayors in beleaguered urban areas, a small tax base, dealing with violent situations. Lord, let the work, establish thou the work of our hands. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. You know what he's asking here? He's saying, give permanence to the work of my hands. Let me do something that after I'm dead and gone, that will live on. Let me do something that after I have been, let me do something that will have some meaning far beyond my life. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And though he's dead, he still speaks. Though he's dead, he still speaks. Will you speak from the grave? Are you working to leave a legacy? Maybe not a legacy as an African-American mayor, but maybe you can be the mayor of your own little community. You can be the mayor of your grandchildren. You can be the mayor of the people in the ministry that you own. And I'm saying mayor, I'm not saying like the boss, but I'm just saying, using that figuratively, right? You can be the mayor. You can leave a legacy. You can have an impact on the lives of those around you, so that once you are gone, that you will still be speaking from the grave. I like one of the things that I heard on the video. The key to success in America, I'm going to say first is Christ, but then education. Young people, I don't know how much more that can be stressed, that you have opportunities, that you need to get all the education that you can, because that's going to be the key to your success. Now, again, I believe first and foremost is Christ, so I'm going to stay there. That's Christ. But then after that, you need to get an education so that as you live your life, that you can leave this legacy. Now, does that mean that you have to have an education to leave a legacy? No, not at all. But we need to live something here, leave something here that's going to far outlive us. There's a Chinese proverb. It says that He that would provide shade for future generations builds a tree today. Are you building any trees? You're going to be ground to powder and you're going to blow away. Are you building any trees?
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of When Time for Me Shall Be No More. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Are We Just Dust in the Wind? You can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request, Are We Just Dust in the Wind? That's anchoredinjesus.org and request, Are We Just Dust in the Wind? Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. Find out more information about these resources by visiting anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. 831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.